The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based podcast that spotlights Black women who replace silence with storytelling around pregnancy and infant loss and infertility. Black women experience miscarriage and stillbirth 4 to 5 times more likely than white women, according to the NIH and CDC. Whether you've experienced a miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, are trying to conceive, or have an infertility diagnosis, you will learn about resources and strategies to heal, gain clarity, peace, hope, and find an empowering path forward after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee, and you will hear me interview sisters in loss who have healed from such a painful and traumatic experience by sharing their testimonies and stories to inspire and help others turn their pain into their purpose. Now let's get started. All right. Well, welcome Jessica to the podcast.
Hi.
So I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So my name is Jessica Jackson, also known as JC Jackson. I am an educator and an author. I actually just released a book called Elijah Broke the Gate about my son. I work with students. I have a business called Kumba Architects where we teach children how to become creative, and I use literacy to do that. And so we do a lot of fun things with aquaponics, and I also work district-wide as an administrator, and I work with all level of students.
Perfect, perfect. So I would love for you to just take us back on your journey to motherhood and share with us.
So, my husband and I got married, and then I'm married into a blended family. So I have a gorgeous, amazing young adult named Kiera. And when we got married, we knew we wanted to have more children. And so we planned, well, first we waited a little bit because, you know, you get married, you want to spend time with each other. And then we planned out very patiently to have our child. And I mean, we were like clockwork. I asked a lot of friends, how did you do it? I mean, did you go natural? What worked? And they just said, you know, just do natural method, pay attention to the calendar, don't have to do anything special. You'll probably get pregnant really, really quickly. And we did. Second month in of us trying, we got pregnant, and we were excited because literally we planned this, right? We knew we wanted a baby, and everything was going fine. I mean, there weren't any like issues or anything like that. I went to the first appointment. My husband couldn't come. And then, and it was great. And everyone celebrated and we got hugs and people prayed and it was good. And then not long after that, a little bit before I was supposed to go to my second appointment for Elijah, I started spotting. So this is my first pregnancy. And I was worried, of course. And so I called my doctor and she said, oh, you know, sometimes women spot when they're pregnant. And it's okay. So just, you know, pay attention to it and let me know if it keeps going, but just, you know, stay home and rest. That was a Thursday. And I said, okay. And I prayed because I would speak to my son all the time. I would speak to him and my brother. I was praying, talking to him and say, hey, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to chill out because we got stuff to do, right? And so over those few days, it started being more than just this like pink spotting. Became a little bit more and I started cramping and I was like, something's wrong. I knew something was wrong because I'm sensitive to my body. Something's wrong. And by Sunday, I knew I was losing him. And it's a very surreal experience because for me, I was trying to figure out how to not lose him. I'm sure everyone tries to do the same thing, but I was really talking to myself and I said, you got to calm down. You got to stop. Come on, Jessica, you got to talk to your body. You have to listen to me. And I remember being so upset because it was like my body was going against what I was saying. It almost to me at that moment felt like I was killing my child. And it was horrifying. And so I remember coming down the stairs I remember seeing my daughter and my husband, they were downstairs laughing about something, and the house smelled like the house, right? It smelled like fried chicken and lavender and all those things. And them laughing made me angry when I saw them. And I said, I need to go to the hospital right now. Something's wrong. And my husband saw my face. We all went. So we actually went to the hospital prior to that when I was spotting that first time. And it was false alarm. They said everything was good, right? So laugh. Ooh, we're great. So the second time we went, ended up sending my daughter home, told my husband to send her home because I felt like it wasn't going to work out, like it was going to be bad. And we went in. Went into the hospital, went into the room, and by this time there were big clumps of tissue coming out, and I just could not stop crying. I remember the doctor coming in. I remember them doing the ultrasound, them checking. I remember being in the bathroom, and I guess I was in there too long because the nurse was like, hey, ma'am, are you okay? Are you okay? I can come in there, and I was like, I'm definitely not okay. I remember my husband sitting beside me and my best friend. She came to the hospital. I didn't ask her to. I said, no, it's okay. And I just opened my eyes and she was there. And I remember her rubbing my hair and singing to me. And it was so beautiful. And she just sang and rubbed my hair. And I remember my husband holding my hand and saying, hey, we're in this together. And the nurse coming in and the doctor coming in and saying, Ms. Jackson, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to tell you this. And he told me that, you know, we lost our baby and that I'm miscarrying them. And I remember screaming. And it was horrible. It was the worst experience I've ever felt. And some beautiful things that happened. I remember the doctor's eyes. I can see them right now as I'm talking. I remember his eyes and him looking afraid. I'm thinking, what are you afraid of, you know? And he was afraid and he just left. He just didn't even say anything else. He just left. And the nurse talking to me and trying to calm me down. And my husband saying, we're in this together. And he did like this football analogy. It was so cute. And he was saying, you know, we're still in the game. You know, we didn't quite get there yet, but we're going to still go and it's okay. And my best friend just singing and holding me and crying with me. And if you know anything, I mean, clearly, you know, something, you are African-American yourself, but I know different people are different, but culturally, like with my friends, we're not very like touchy-touchy. We're touchy, but not like touchy-touchy. But like this, like broke all those little rules. Those like, we're not going to be touchy rules, because she held me and hugged me and loved on me and rubbed my hair. And we just cried. My husband, we just sat there and we just cried. And I lost my son, Elijah.
So what happened after then? How did those next few weeks look like for you?
So grief, huh? that first week or two, my husband was so great, right? He was so patient and so wonderful. And I laid in the bed and I cried and I was off of work and I just cried. I just cried and I was angry. But then after about 2 weeks, my husband was like, you got to get up. So then we got started arguing. He was like, get up, get out of bed. But I went through so many different things. I remember I jumped right into gardening, right? I love gardening. I'm an avid farmer, grower. I just needed something to live. And for me, it was the plants, just tending to them and really like focusing on them. There's something beautiful about watching a plant grow from seed. And you nurturing it and seeing it bloom. And it was like healing to me. Gardening was my therapy process through that. I ended up starting a garden club from that, and just really focusing on that. I mean, there were so many different things. They're kind of all over the place. Like sometimes I would be okay, but then other times I wouldn't. I remember one time being in the room and just screaming. Like just screaming out of nowhere, just screaming, wailing. And, you know, in other cultures, that's not abnormal. In America, that's abnormal. That's like, oh, let me call the nut house. You're crazy. But in other places, when you lose a child, people wail. I mean, they pay people to become wailers and cry with you and grieve with you. And so that's something I started to do. So I feel like my grief has been very like cyclical. It's been up and down and all over the place. And things that have helped me have been writing. I started writing the book about Elijah Broke the Gate. That has been therapeutic, but like things that I have never done before, I started doing. Like, I'm not a cursor. I'm not a person who just like spouts profanity, but I promise you, you would have thought I was a pro because I got angry so many times and just cursed and called my friends trying to figure out why this happened to me, because I felt like I had done all the right things. I feel like I did the stuff I was supposed to do. So why did this happen for me in my life? I actually, this is my first marriage. I waited until I was married to, so I was a virgin until I got married. I felt like I had followed all the steps. So of course, when I'm ready to have a child, I'm going to have a child. But then no one told me that there was a possibility that you could not have a child. And so that was a shock. So I didn't find out that it wasn't abnormal for people to lose babies until after I lost my baby. Suddenly everybody I knew had lost a child, but I never knew they lost a child. Like literally the only person I could tell you before then that I knew was my aunt, because she had lost several children. And it was like a secret though. We didn't really talk about it very much. We just kind of just acknowledged that she was a mother of several kids that just did not live. But then when it came to all these other people that I knew, I didn't know they were even pregnant. And I didn't know they lost children, but then it's like this secret club that nobody wants to be a part of. But then everyone needs to share something about, because why didn't I know that? And I found right. And then all these beautiful women bonded around me, but it was after it happened, you know? And it was like a little talk here, a little talk there. So then I started talking louder than everybody else. And I was like, hey, this happened and it sucked. Someone needs to talk about this. This is not okay. Like, hey, we lost kids and nobody's saying anything. Nobody wants to announce that we lost the kid. We announce it any other time. This hurts. This freaking hurts. And so then I started talking louder, and then other people started talking. And so now there's like this community of people who are just talking about it, you know? But I've just learned so much from the loss of my son, from his short time in our lives. I feel like I've learned that grieving is not a weakness, that it's something that makes you strong. And sorrow is like a best friend to joy. And it's okay to go through it. And it's best when you go through it together. So I don't know if I really answered you, but yes, those are the things that happen next.
No, you definitely answered it. And you really even shared how you've been learning and what he's really taught you so far on your journey. So I would love for you to talk about just how you really are turning your pain into purpose, and the book that you are really pouring everything into. So share with us about how that process has been.
So my book is called Elijah Broke the Gate. We just released last Friday. So it's a book of performance pieces about child loss. I have a performance background in theater, and I work with kids in all kinds of aspects of literacy and theater and all those different things. And so I'm not the only author, I'm the main author, but there's about five other writers, and they have, well, six, because there's an anonymous writer. They all have a piece in there. It covers miscarriage, all types of miscarriage with IVF or a traditional miscarriage. It covers stillbirth and regretted abortion. Our anonymous writer wrote about their abortion that occurred. And it's, the pieces can be done separately or can be done as a full length play. It's broken up into three sections, and it covers the pieces all flow into the different stages of grief. And so when I started writing, I wrote no matter how I felt. So these, my pieces are parts of how I felt about Elijah, how I felt at with my husband in that moment, how I felt about people. So you'll see pieces that are based off a real life experience that I had, but then there's an element of fiction in there. Like there's one piece called Unlawful, and it's a woman reporting a murder, but the murder at the end you discover is the murder of her child, but the policeman's trying to figure out who got killed. And those feelings and those things are real things that I actually said, and the real things that I actually felt and experienced. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful book of stories of women's loss, and not just women. My husband wrote a piece in there. He wrote, he actually took him a long time to feel like it was okay. The letter that he wrote to our son is called Little Man. That piece is in there. A husband and wife wrote together about their child that was stillborn. And so, I mean, there's just some beautiful, beautiful healing pieces. And, you know, it just goes through all the stages. And at the end, there's that hope. There's that, just that little niche of hope that you can make it after this. And there is purpose even in your loss and in your child. Not saying that the loss was okay, because people ask me, do you think it was okay? No, hell no, it was never okay. Like, what do you mean? Is it okay for your child to die? Like, it's never okay, but there is purpose. There's purpose in my son. Like I say all the time, my son was here. He didn't just, it's not just a fiction of my imagination. He was here inside my belly. So therefore he was here, and there's purpose in him. And in the book, I also talk, I believe that babies and mamas communicate through the heart. And I believe that no matter how short that baby was in you, they communicated to you. They spoke purpose in you, that God spoke to them and they spoke that thing into you. And when they leave, you're supposed to live out that purpose. So you got to figure out what is it that he left there for you to go. And so I feel like this book that I did is my first step into that purpose. And so many things happened as I was publishing it. I remember I had a virtual editing party. I just invited 20 people, didn't really give them much context. They knew I was doing a book. They knew it had to do with the baby, but the feedback was, what? Wow. Oh my God. What? And so when I called everybody to hear, I found out like 5 people that I knew them. They weren't strangers, lost babies. And no, they didn't say anything. One person had never said it in her life, literally never said it. And just cried on the phone with me. And it's just crazy. And the thing that things I keep hearing is, Jessica, you're creating this community where it's okay for women to grieve. I heard from, and I mean all women, not just Black women, white women, any woman. But then I heard from another woman that I don't know. I just met her on Instagram, and she came to my virtual release party, and she said, as a woman of color, I just want to say, I feel like oftentimes I have to be stronger. I can't sit there and cry too long because it's not strong. She said, I haven't even read the book. I've heard you talk about it. I've heard you read some pieces from it. She was like, but I feel like I have permission to grieve and I can still be strong. I can be a strong Black woman and grieve at the same time. And that's okay. And I didn't intentionally do any of this. All I did was write about my story, write my truth, write about my son, no matter if it was good, bad, ugly. And people ask me, well, Jessica, you're a believer. I'm a believer. But hey, let me tell you, if you feel your child coming outside of you, you go through the process of a labor and then it's dead tissue. Tell me how clean and beautiful you're going to sound. That's not real. I'm a real person. Just like Jesus was a real person. He did some kind of crazy off wall things. Yeah. And I ain't Jesus. So I feel I'm just very thankful. I'm grateful for God being here with me through this whole process and allowing me to become pregnant with my son. Some great things that are happening from even the book now is I'm starting to write a children's series sequel to the last piece in the book. And then also next year on October 15, 2022, here in Houston, we'll be producing the full-length play version of Elijah Brookgate. So.
No, that's amazing. I love that you are going to produce a full-fledged play. Definitely excited about what that is going to look like and what is to come based on you launching this book and the series of books that's coming out of all of this pain. So I would love for you to share, like, what are the next steps on your journey?
So, you know, the full-length play, that's my next step. Immediately right now, I'm looking into doing some, getting my book into specialty bookstores. And so I'm doing some things with that. I started kind of trying to take a poll on some book talk groups and then some kind of like writing courses, but performance writing courses, right, to perform your work when you're dealing with child loss. And so those are two things that I'm looking into doing some book talk groups. They're going to be starting soon. And then some writing and performing groups for grief, for child loss grief. And then I told you about my children's series book that's coming. So I'm very excited about those things. I'm excited about just helping women through their process and men. I'm not a man, so I'm always like a little leery about that. But I've had some men talk to me. I normally refer them to my husband, but you know, we can talk. So yeah.
No, I love that. I love that that you are really going all in. And I think that is truly where you know that your healing is going to come from. And you are really surrendering to the process of wanting to tell these stories in the manner that is appropriate for your career, you know, the things that you love to do. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Yeah. Absolutely love that. So what are your next steps on your journey to motherhood?
So we are talking about trying again. Okay, so we've been back and forth. So first my husband was like, hey, let's do it. Because my husband's so cute. He's cute. He talked to his friends to find out what happened with them when they're, if they've experienced it. And he said, they just jumped back in. Well, I wasn't ready to jump back in. I was like, I don't want to experience that ever again. For a minute, I was like, you know what? We should just adopt or something, because that was horrible, right? So I went through that moment. But we're going to try again. I'm going to be honest. I'm scared. I do not want to have another miscarriage. I salute and honor those who have multiples and then it's beautiful and you have them. And I just think you are a straight soldier. I don't want your testimony though. Honestly, for real, I don't. And so I get scared of that because I never thought I was going to have a miscarriage. Like literally in my mind, I never thought I would have one. So now in my mind, there's a possibility. But even though I am scared, we are going to do it. That's funny, do it. We are going to try again. And so, yeah, we're going to try again. We're going to see what happens. We do also honestly want to eventually adopt, but we want to try having our own first because my beautiful daughter, my bonus baby, she's literally an adult now. She's at Howard University in her sophomore year. So she's not a baby. I can't pinch her cheeks. Mom, she'll let me, but it's really kind of weird. And so we want a little baby. We want a little baby. We can pinch her cheeks and love one.
I love it. I love it. No, I don't think anything's wrong with laughing, especially if your husband's ready, you know, you all are on the same page about what it looks like to try again. And I think that the hardest part of doing it is just making sure that you both are mentally prepared for outcomes, whether it's good or bad. Either way, it's still scary, right? Like, let's be real. Like, either way, it's still a scary journey because of which you've already experienced. So I'm so happy that you all are ready to think about what those next steps may look like and really how to support one another as you navigate through the next steps on your journey. So I would love for you to really leave our listeners with some encouraging words for those who may be in a similar circumstance as you, where they've experienced some untimely loss and they're ready to get back out there to try again. What encouraging words can you leave with them?
I want to say, even if you're afraid to try it, just jump out there. And even if there's a lot going on with your life, for example, we're caregivers also of my dad. He's quadriplegic. And I didn't know him before we became caregivers. So I've been taking care of my dad for a year, learning him. And we want to get pregnant. You know, we had a miscarriage, you know, and everything. But and we used to think that we should wait, we should wait, we should wait. But if we really are on the both on the same page, then we need to just come on and try it just to do it. I mean, I learned from Elijah that time is so important, you know? And so don't waste the time that you have. And so if you have the time, then go ahead and do it. And it's going to be okay regardless of the outcome. It's going to be okay. It might not feel like it in the moment, but it will be okay.
Perfect. So where can we connect with you? And then where can we find your book after this episode? So give us all the links, all the details.
Okay. Instagram is the best way to find me. You can go to Elijah Broke the Gate on Instagram and find me. You also can go to jessica.charmaine.jackson to find me. If you want to look on my book, you can go on my website, which is elijahbrokethegate.com. And I'm selling the book there. You go on Amazon, you can get the ebook. You can buy the paperback book directly from me. If you just look up Jessica Jackson, Elijah Broke the Gate, you'll see all the stuff.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story on the podcast. I'm excited about your book and all of the things that you have in store. So definitely stay in connection with me. I definitely would love to help promote and market this play and all of the things that you do in the next year. I so appreciate it. So thank you so much, Jessica.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For show notes, go to sistersinloss.com. To stay connected with us and join the Sisters in Loss community and receive my weekly newsletter, please go to sistersinloss.com/newsletter. That is sistersinloss.com/newsletter. Please rate and review this episode, and I will talk to you next week.